I will discuss inshallah the same topic as Sheikh Abdullah Al-Mulighiti. Number one, I'm Ashi Gil. I'm from the Republic of Mitchell's Plain in Cape Town. And I'm involved in various dawah projects, teaching imamat and stuff like that inshallah. So the topic is Imam Abdullah Harun. Imam Abdullah Harun, as we know, was an anti-apartheid stalwart at the Cape. He was anti the apartheid government. I'll mention some of the facts that Sheikh Abdullah mentioned, because the information that we took was basically from the same source, his son, Professor Muhammad Harun, that's based at the University of Zambia. Yeah, Botswana. Abdullah Harun was born on the 8th of February 1924 in Newlands, Claremont. He was the youngest in a family of five. And as an infant, his mother, Aisha Martin, passed away. His father was alive. His father was named Amarin Harun. But his father was unable to take care of him, and he sent him to his aunt, who took care of him and raised him. His aunt sponsored him to study the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, until he got married, and that's where the support from the aunt stopped. He completed his early studies at Talfala in grade 6 in the year. The school was established in the year 1912. And for 2 years, he pursued Islamic studies in Mecca. He was tutored by the famous Sheikh Abdurrahman Al Alawi Al Maliki, you know, the Alawi scholars from Saudi Arabia. After studying in preliminary Islamic studies in Saudi Arabia, he returned to South Africa and he continued his search of knowledge under local mashayikh by the names of Sheikh Abdullah Taha Hamildin, who died in the year 1946. And he also studied, I don't know if this is true, but according to certain sources, under Sheikh Ismail Hanif, who was the first Azhari graduate, you know, the first Sheikh that went overseas to the Azhar and studied over there. Now remember, at that time, today you find in Cape Town specifically, I don't know how the situation in Durban and Johannesburg, it's Imams, Maulanas, and Sheikhs. At that time, the Sheikhs were people who studied overseas. So people who went to Makkah, who studied with the Mashayikh of Makkah, scholars who went to Egypt to study, the scholars of Egypt at the Azhar, they were the Sheikhs and the Mashayikh. The Maulanas were normally the people that came from the subcontinent, and this was before the Darulums in South Africa. And the Imams were people who studied locally under the scholars at the Cape. So these were his teachers. However, the one who encouraged him to participate fully in community activities, and particularly in social welfare sector, that was Sheikh Ismail Hanif. He thus extended his services to the poor, the needy, and he also began to teach. So not only did he do ilm, knowledge, by teaching the community, he also had the factor of amal, like Sheikh Abdul Bilal mentions. You know, he did teaching, knowledge, conveyed the deen, and also he assisted the poor and the needy. His political views. The Imam's ideas were influenced and shaped by both internal and external factors. While studying under Sheikh Ismail and teaching at a local Muslim school, he befriended a few individuals. And these individuals frequented the intellectual gatherings of the Teachers League of South Africa and the non-European Unity Movement. So these individuals, you know, changed his fikrah and his thought. The Imam's social political views were also influenced by the ideas of the Egyptian Brotherhood, the Ikhwan, and other Arab Indian movements. So all of these, you know, movements affected the ideas of the Imam, which shows that the Imam was a leader. He studied. When he was officially appointed in 1955 as the Imam of the Al Jamia Mosque in Stegman Road, he initiated a few things. Now, normally at the Cape, we have the tradition of the klopsa, you know, the koons. So instead of the koons, the Imam initiated adult classes. So adult classes for males and females. He innovated alternatives for the koon carnivals. Brief talks about various issues pertaining to Islam after the Salah during the month of Ramadan. So this is one of the practices that Sheikh Abdullah Harun initiated. So like the small nasiha that we have at the Cape, after the Taraweeh is over, the Imam will give certain advices. This is what Sheikh Abdullah Harun initiated. And he also allowed women to participate in mosque executive activities. Along with his close circle of friends, he established the Progressive Claremont Muslim Youth Association, known as the CMYA, in 1958. And the CMYA, The Claremont Muslim Youth Association went on to publish a monthly bulletin, like a newspaper, The Islamic Mirror, and this was in the year 1959. Also, on a side note, we discussed the MJC last night. The Imam was formed part of those initial scholars that formed the MJC. You know, according to certain individuals, the Imam was not recognized by certain people. I thought, this is my idea, I thought because the Imam studied locally, you know, so the scholars from the Azhar and the scholars who studied in Mecca did not recognize him. But one of my colleagues reminded me that many of the mashayikh at the MJC at that time was loyal to the ANC. And the sheikh, I don't know if he was loyal to the ANC, and thus that caused the clash. The Imam and other stakeholders decided to establish a monthly newspaper, the Muslim News, which eventually became the Muslim Views. He was appointed as its editor and used the opportunity to make the paper as representative and as relevant as possible. It covered cultural, religious, and political issues. Okay, inshallah, 1 minute left. He played a functional role in this newspaper that kept the Muslims informed about various Islamic issues that took place at the Cape. The Imam, besides the newspaper, he used his Friday khutbah and his sermons, you know, to inform the Muslims about the injustice that is taking place. Some statements of the Imams, inhuman, barbaric, and un-Islamic. This is what he called the Group Areas Act, when many people were told to move out of the areas that they grew up in. And he added that these laws were a complete negation of the fundamental principles of Islam. They are designed to cripple us educationally, politically, and economically. We cannot accept this type of enslavement. He also said, it seeks to close all loopholes in the government's regimentation of the lives of the people. Our motherland has been a big prison house with just a few loopholes to breathe through. Now that we cemented, a granite wall is to be built around our motherland to suffocate us, so that the world does not hear our cry. Our country is unique. And then he went on. I'll stop here, inshallah. His death. As Sheikh mentioned, he went to Saudi Arabia. He met the King of Saudi Arabia. He met many influential figures. He traveled, he met the Muslim Brotherhood members. He went to London, met people over there. And in 1967, on the morning of 1969, the Imam was summoned by the security branch of the apartheid government, you know, by an official named Spiker van Wyk under the Terrorism Act. He went forth and, as Sheikh mentioned, you know, he was kept for months in 180 days. He was kept in jail, and eventually the Muslims heard about his death. The word that came from the governor was he fell from a stairs, but as many know, he was obviously tortured to death. And as a faida, as a side note, on the day that he died, there was a tremor in Taubah. So many attribute it to the karama and the greatness of this individual. And to this day, he is known as Ash-Shahid, the martyr, Abdullah Harun. May Allah have mercy upon the Imam and the Sheikh. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us some of his qualities. Ameen.